to a Burst of Hope podcast with your co-hosts, Kim Stanley and Martha Wilson. Who couldn't use a little hope, encouragement, and inspiration? Tune in every week as we share heart-to-heart conversation with other hope seekers. Join us at the table for real talk that will meet you right where you are. So go ahead, press pause on worry, overwhelm, and crazy, and breathe in God of Hope. Hi, friends, and welcome to another episode of A Burst of Hope. We are thankful that you're joining us today, and Martha and I are really excited to have a new friend with us at the table that we just met, and I'm so excited to hear her story, and I know you friends that are listening are really going to enjoy it as well. But we are very pleased to welcome Carol Perry to the table today. And Carol is married. She's got two bonus daughters who are grown and have their own children. So she's got four grandchildren, right? Four. And I love this. We always ask the grandparents' names, but she and her husband are Lolly and Pop. And don't you love that? That's my favorite. That's great. I love that. And they even their youngest baby, grandbaby, is just 2 weeks old today. So she's got a tiny one. I love it. But Carol is very active in her church, in the missions department, and also in women's ministry and helps with Bible studies. And we're just so glad you're here, Carol. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yes, yes. And we did just meet Carol, and the way I got to have Carol sitting at the table with us is you are a friend of my sister, Susan Shepherd, and she heard your story when you shared at the church, and she was so, so touched and began to tell me a little bit about your story, and I immediately said, do you think she would share on the podcast? So we are so thankful that you would say yes, and just a little bit that I know, Carol, it's a powerful story, big story. We're going to see a God of miracle. And friends, just so you know, this is going to be a two-part podcast episode. And today we're going to leave you hanging for the rest of the story. But Carol, is going to be exciting to just hear your story that you've already said is his story. So you just begin, you can jump in, and we are looking forward to joining you and hearing what God's doing.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here. My story starts about 2 years ago, almost to the day, actually. It was in March of 2021. The only thing going on with me medically at the time was I had been seeing an orthopedic doctor about my neck. I had symptoms really for the previous 2 years, and I had had two epidural shots in my neck, that's all that we knew was going on. But as of March, my symptoms started to change and get strange. And one evening, my husband and I were home from work, and I was going to change the channel on the TV. And he wasn't paying attention. He was looking at his laptop, you know, so he didn't really care. But anyway, I picked up the remote and tried to change the channel, and I could not figure out the remote. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I knew this, I was aware this was weird. And I asked my husband, would he change the channel for me? And he said, sure. And he changed the channel and didn't act like he thought that was strange. But he also said later to me that I was slurring my words when I talked to him. So the next morning, we're both up getting ready for work, and he told me, I'm going to call the doctor and leave a message and tell them my concern about your symptoms. I'm worried. I said, okay, and let me caveat this with, he doesn't usually call my doctor, but he had been to this doctor, and that's how I knew about him. My husband had had neck surgery by this orthopedic surgeon, so anyway, he called and left a message, and we both, you know, went on to work and everything, and later that morning, I got a call from the doctor's office, so they didn't call him back, they called me back, and she said, Carol, we got your husband's message, and we think you're having a stroke. And I thought, what? no, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And she got more assertive with me and said, Carol, you need to go to the emergency room right now. And so I thought, well, she's right. I thanked her. I got off the phone and I started driving over to Fayette Piedmont Hospital, which is, as y'all know, that's not the closest mm-hmm. hospital to me. But I thought it was the biggest hospital, had the most resources, and if I'm having a stroke, mm-hmm. that's where I'm going to go. So anyway, I headed to the hospital, and on the way, I called my husband and told him what was going on and everything. And so he works in Atlanta, and so he headed that way as well, and he actually beat me to the hospital.
Wow.
So we walked in together and started telling them, you know, what was going on and what the doctor's office had told us. And they asked several questions and they took us on back and started taking my vitals and running tests. And this took, you know, several hours. Mm-hmm. But anyway, a doctor came in my room and he said, Carol, you're not having a stroke. You have a brain tumor. Mm-hmm. And you know, of all the things he could have said, that wasn't on the radar. And he said, we are not the experts of handling brain tumors. You need to go to Atlanta Piedmont Hospital. And he said, I've arranged for an ambulance to transport you there. And he told my husband, they do have visiting hours, which you never know because, you know, with COVID and all that. But the hours are 9 to 6, and it was after 6 o'clock at night, so there's no point in you going. They've locked down for the night.
Goodness.
And honestly, this very first step in this journey was probably the hardest because, you know, we've been told I have a brain tumor, and you guys have to separate.
That was
real hard. Mm-hmm. But they loaded me into an ambulance, and we headed for Atlanta. And I remember thinking on the way up there, you know, this can't be good. It might be my time. This really isn't good. And I really kind of feel like I dropped down the rabbit hole, you know, because, you know, I was just driving the car a few hours ago.
Yes.
I was just at work. You know, it was a Friday. I was looking forward to the weekend. But we got to Atlanta Piedmont Hospital, and they admitted me, and they took me to this floor that I guess was all for brain tumor patients, I guess, because I started seeing, you know, like signs on the wall that pertained to that. And one of the signs said, multidisciplinary brain tumor clinic. And I thought, I don't even know what that means. Mm-hmm. Multidisciplinary brain tumor. Are there different disciplines? I was just way out of my element. And they put me in a room. They were surprised I hadn't had a seizure. And they put me on anti-seizure medicine. They said I was a fall risk, so I have a wristband that indicates that. They put a yellow band on my arm. They put yellow socks on me. All that indicates you're a fall risk. They put there's an alarm on my bed. I can't get up without, you know, the alarm going off, or I got to call a nurse and all that. So I went from, you know, just going to work that morning to I'm in a hospital in Atlanta.
Without your husband there.
My husband.
Wow. Shocking and frightening, I would think.
It was, it was just kind of twilight zone-ish, you know, really. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the interesting thing was I knew when I got there, this is going to sound weird, that I was where I was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I I don't know why other than, the obvious, I have a brain tumor. But I don't think things happen by accident, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, you know, my husband came first thing, and he brought my Bible, my devotion book for me. And we met the neurologist, neurosurgeon, and all of his team pretty much throughout the day, the oncologist that partnered with him. And they ran a lot of scans and MRIs and all this all day Saturday. But basically from Saturday to Tuesday, it was preparing me and them with information for surgery on Wednesday. That was the target. The neurosurgeon met with us, and we found out that I had lung cancer, and it had metastasized to my brain. So that automatically makes you a stage four cancer, which is the last stage. And lung cancer is the deadliest cancer still in our country. So it really wasn't looking good for me.
And you're, I guess, you're getting, just step by step, you're getting more and more and more news. Of the unknown.
The bad news. Really, there wasn't really any good news yet.
Not hope yet, right?
The tumor, we hadn't seen the tumor yet, and the neurosurgeon said, oh, I didn't know y'all hadn't seen it yet. So he had a laptop out and showed us the scans, and it was a big tumor. It was impressive. He said the goal when he did surgery would to get a third of it. And I thought, a third? Is that, you're going to leave two? What happens? You live with two thirds? What? I don't know. So it's on the left side of my brain. And on the left side of your brain, you know, you got right side, left side. And the left side controls speech and language, your reasoning, your analytical and logical thinking, your mobility, specifically on your right side of your body, which this was all starting to click as far as symptoms we attributed to my neck. It's like, okay, all that wasn't my neck. So he came in and talked to us the day before surgery on Tuesday and said, you know, this is a big tumor, and this is a serious surgery, and of course it has risk to it, like all surgeries do. But he said, Carol, after this surgery, you may not be able to talk again, ever. I remember him adding ever. He said, you may not be able to walk again. And he kept talking, and I quit listening, basically. I thought, you know, with all due respect, and I mean that with all due respect. You know, we thought the world of this doctor and his team. We were told by the staff we had the A team. But all due respect, you're not in charge tomorrow. You know, this is God's will. And we'll see what comes out of it, you know. If it's my time to go home, you know, okay. If it's, if I have a new normal, you know, we'll figure it out. My husband, you know, had told family and friends what was going on, and pastors at church and the staff at church, everybody knew, and were sending up prayers, and you know, other church groups were praying for me and everything. And that night, you know, before the surgery, my personal prayer, you know, I said, look, this is my brain, you know, we're talking about. Please, don't let me forget who you are. Don't let me forget who my Savior is. Don't let me forget everything you've taught me. Because I thought, you know, what's the point? You know, take me home. And then I said, you know, if I have a new normal, you know, if I make it through this and I have a new normal, maybe I can't walk. Maybe I can't talk, you know, maybe I'm using an iPad. I don't know. But I said, it'll be okay. We'll figure it out. We'll get through this, you know, as long as you're with me, it'll be all right. You know, in hindsight, the second half of that prayer, I realized I was reassuring the Almighty God that things were going to be okay, that we're going to figure this out. And I, looking back, he probably thought that was humorous, actually. But the next day, I went in for surgery. And by the way, you have to be awake for this entire surgery. They don't put you out. Well, they put you out initially, and then you're awake for... It was a 6-hour surgery. I was awake for at least 5 of it. And they drill you with questions for that whole time.
Right. See.
Because they want you responding and, you know, that's exhausting. Mm-hmm. But after the surgery, the neurosurgeon went to talk to my husband, and my husband said he told him, he was real excited, said it was a big success, that it went great. He said, you know, I was going to try to get a third of the tumor. He said at one point in the surgery, the tumor just kind of folded into itself. He wow. compared it to a circus tent folding in. He said, and I was able to get over half of the tumor.
Okay.
He said, and what that means is it puts us in a great position to get the rest of it with the radiation.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good news.
Mm-hmm.
He had told us I would be in ICU 2 to 3 days after the surgery. And so Thursday morning, I woke up in ICU.
Mm.
And I felt great. I was talking like I'm talking to you now.
Wow.
My arms, legs, toes, fingers, everything seemed to be working. It could have been any other morning, you know. It was
goodness.
The only thing that was, you know, different was I had a big, what we call Q-tip on my head. Mm-hmm. I had a big white bandage. But otherwise, I felt great. Mm-hmm. In fact, later that morning, the doctor came in and said, we're going to put you back in a regular room. You don't need to be in ICU. You're fine.
Wow. So that is a miracle right there.
So they put me back in a regular room. But I think I went back to the floor I had been on.
Mm-hmm.
And then Friday, he came in my room and said, how do you feel about going home? And mm-hmm. I said, great. I'm ready to go home. And so we agreed that Saturday I would be released and go home. And so Saturday, he came in my room and he took the bandage off and released me from the hospital, and I went home with 50 staples in my head.
Oh,
and I know that because my husband counted
them.
Yeah, that's what husbands do. But there was a scripture that really stood out for me while I was in the hospital, and it was Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. How great is that? The Lord himself goes before you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I love
he
that.
He is way ahead of us.
Yes. Carol, that's one of my favorites, and I am reminded of looking at that in the Amplified translation, and Amplified says, I will never, mm-hmm. never, never. And it's the tense of that word is like you said, it is said 3 times. I will mm-hmm. never, never, never leave you. And he wanted you to have that. He's already gone before you, and he would never leave you. Wow.
It's a huge comfort. Huge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went home, and he told me just to rest for a couple of weeks, and then I went back to work. I mean, I felt fine, you
wow.
know.
Amazing.
Why not? Now, of course, the journey's not over. I've got lung cancer to fight, but they sent me to a speech pathologist. And I didn't understand why. I almost canceled that appointment because I thought, I'm fine, aren't I? I mean, mm-hmm. I thought, well, maybe there's something I don't know. So anyway, I came. She was located over here in Fayette County, so I came over here to meet with her. And she was about my age. She told me she'd been doing this a long time. And she talked to me for a while, and then she put me through a series of exercises to evaluate, you know, my speech and all that. And so we did that. And then she told me, she said, Carol, you passed with flying colors. You really don't need me. But she said, but let me tell you something. She said, I've read your chart, and I know what you've been through. And she said, the people that have been through what you've been through, they don't drive themselves here.
Mm.
She said, they don't walk in here unassisted.
Mm-hmm.
They don't talk unassisted. Mm-hmm. The person who came with them is finishing their sentence and finding the word they're looking for, mm-hmm. you know, for them and stuff like that. She said, you're not the norm at all.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, let me tell you about my God.
Yes. Yes.
And the scripture that really stood out for me, hearing another medical person confirm, you know, mm-hmm. that basically I'm a miracle,
mm-hmm.
is Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Mm-hmm. And I thought, he's not kidding.
Yeah. Wow. Look, he knew a story that he was writing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, Carol. So really, before we just move on any further in your story, I think we're going to save the rest mm-hmm. of your story for part two. So can we just have a little conversation here?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to make note that I did not miss that your husband, when he came to the hospital that morning,
mm-hmm.
man, I can't imagine what his night was like also, that he couldn't get in that ambulance and go with you. But you said that he brought your Bible and your devotion book. Mm-hmm. And would you say God had prepared you to walk through, you know, what you stepped into? Obviously, he knew to bring your Bible and your devotion book.
Well, and I did ask him yep. too. Because I knew from the beginning, and I guess the Holy Spirit let me know that, you know, this, you need to document this.
Mm-hmm.
I knew from the beginning that there's something about this. I mean, I'll tell you, the message I got that week in the hospital, and I heard it over and over, was you need to be patient. You have a long journey. Mm-hmm. And I really cringed when I kept hearing that, because mm-hmm. I thought, this sounds like a long cancer journey. Mm-hmm. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah.
But then it wasn't looking like that medically, mm-hmm. you know? And I remember at one point in the hospital thinking, I should be freaking out, really. You know, I'm fixing to have brain surgery. I really should be worried. You know, anxious, and I wasn't at all. I was real at peace. It's that peace beyond understanding. Yeah, it really is, because
like you experienced that.
I slept good.
Wow. Yeah, that's right. That is that no understanding mm-hmm. to it. That's that in a few podcasts prior to this one that we spent 2 weeks mm-hmm. talking about peace and God's peace, and that's mm-hmm. what you're describing. Yeah, we've mm-hmm. we've tasted that too, haven't mm-hmm. we, Kim?
Yeah, yes, we have.
Unexplainable peace in the midst of it should not be there.
It's like when you said when you got to that hospital at Piedmont downtown that you knew you were where you needed to be. You know, it's like that's part of the peace, I think, or it manifests itself that you're settled and you know that God's taking care of you and He's got you right where you need to be, and you can kind of just relax and go with the flow a little bit, even though it's scarier than anything you've imagined or been through. That overwhelms the circumstances. It sounds mm-hmm. like that was your experience. And you know, that's a promise of God in those times.
I think He blesses you with that peace.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you trust Him, that's what He blesses you with in return.
Yeah, and it's really the fulfillment of His promise to us. He's promised to be with us. He's promised to give us everything that we need. We have everything that we need in Him, and He's a promise keeper, and
absolutely.
He shows up. And, oh, how touching that you would say to, don't let me forget who you are.
I love that.
Because you didn't, everything they told you, you knew. You could come out on the other side. Their words were saying a different story,
mm-hmm.
but that the cry of your heart would be, don't let me forget.
Yes, that's beautiful.
That's the part I couldn't imagine. If that was the outcome, any other outcome, I thought, you know, and if I'm going to still be here, I can live with. But if you don't know God, that's your whole purpose.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm. I want to know you.
Yeah.
I've got to know you. Yeah. So how about you, friends that are listening in? with us today. I know you're anxious to hear the rest of the story, but just as we break here for part two next week, maybe just take some time to ponder. What would be the words that you would say entering into surgery? Would your cry of your heart be, God, don't let me forget who you are? And if you don't know who he is, I pray that even through this podcast, mm-hmm. that you will encounter a living God, that the three of us sitting at the table today know and believe he is so much a living God, and we want you to know him too. And perhaps you're in the middle of a devastating story, a shocking story, an unknown. You dare to turn the next page because you don't know what's on the next page. We just want this to bring hope to you today as you listen in, that God of hope will meet you on the next page. I've had many times in my life that I wanted to peek over and just see what might be on the next page before I stepped into it. So afraid, but he tells us that let not your heart be troubled, that he is already on the next page and the next page and the next page, and he will meet you there, friend. And so until next week, hang on. May the God of hope meet you right where you are.